In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, beloved in Christ, His Grace Bishop Mark was here with us for the Hierarchical Divine Liturgy presiding, and he preached in his homily, reminding us how wonderful, how beautiful, and how rich in meaning these Gospels are that come in the weeks following Pascha. We see an example of that today. You know, our church, in her wisdom, does not take us through Great Lent and Holy Week and then bring us to the resurrection and then just drop us off, so to speak. You're on your own. Absolutely not. The church continues to feed us and to teach us. Might even say especially now in these weeks following our celebration of Pascha. So we look at the Gospel today, and right before the Gospel begins, right before what we hear, we are told in the first verse that Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the feast. He was celebrating a feast. This, the church fathers tell us, is a feast called the Feast of Weeks, which the Jews celebrated commemorating the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. God's word, God's law given to Moses. And then right immediately after that, we hear this parable of what happened by the sheep's gate. Keep in mind that the Feast of Weeks was in commemoration of the giving of the law of Moses, and then certain details in this gospel will jump out at you. Right after that, we hear about the five porches by the sheep's gate, and that the man had been ill for 38 years. 5 and 38 are two very rich numbers. They have a biblical significance, and they remind us of exactly that, of the law of Moses and of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. The five usually reminds us of the five books of Moses, the Torah, called the Pentateuch in Greek. And 38 years, it's no coincidence this man was waiting for 38 years. The Jews wandered in the wilderness, as recorded in the Old Testament, waiting for God, 38 years. Okay, so a reference to the Old Covenant here. And what do we have? We have this man who is described in terms, a very specific term, needing God. He's called paralyzed, and that's what the translations tell us. He's a paralytic. And we have other paralyzed men in the Gospels, other sick people, other invalids. There's scores of them throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospels. But this one in particular, the words that John uses, invalid, blind, and lame, especially the blind and the lame, now Jesus is here, and now all the prophecies about the Messiah are being fulfilled. Jesus is here to heal. He's here to make the blind see and to allow the lame to get up and to walk, to rise. All of this is a fulfillment of the Old Testament, and the blind and the lame being restored are signs of the coming of the Messiah. So this is really something special, what's going on here by the sheep's gate, by the pool. It's not the old way of doing things. And we get that in a very specific detail. The man had been sick for 38 years. Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there. And then he asks him the question, "Do you want to be healed?" Might seem to us an obvious, but he allows the man to articulate it. "I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled. And when I am going down, another steps down before me." "Yes, Lord." This man articulates his dilemma. "This is my problem. This is the situation I am in. This is how I see myself." So after that, what does Jesus do? Does he take the man by the hand and bring him to the water so that he can be healed? No, he does not. He proclaims a word, not just any word, but the word that says, rise, take up your pallet, and walk. Beloved in Christ, this is God, through Jesus, healing, forgiving sins, granting life where there is corruption and sickness and eventually death. Not by the old way of doing things, not by a man bringing him to the water to be healed, but simply by the word of God. This is all new. This is God acting with his people through Jesus Christ, bringing them the real salvation, the real healing. So we get this in the weeks following Pascha. We're now the third Sunday after Pascha. And we might ask, you know, we might wonder, all the Sundays leading up to Pascha, through Great Lent, we talk about fasting, we talk about prayer, we talk about devoting time to our spiritual building up, and we have certain tools we use to do that. Well, we need those tools even after Pascha. We're not fasting right now. We are fast free until the Friday after Ascension, because we still proclaim Christ is risen, and that's wonderful. We should proclaim that. And we shouldn't have to fast. However, the problem is we become fat and happy when we're not fasting as much, when we're not going to church except maybe on Sundays. You know, we went through a huge process. Lent is a journey. We come Wednesdays, we're fed the body and blood of Christ in the pre-sanctified liturgy to sustain us through that. On Friday, we come and we sing hymns and praises to the Theotokos. You know, sometimes we have liturgies on Saturdays for all souls. We had Lazarus Saturday. And all that effort made through Holy Week. And then we get to the point where we say Christ is risen and we celebrate. We need God more now than ever. You know, we don't want to be left on our own, beloved in Christ. We need to recognize our weakness before God and our sinfulness. And today's gospel is just that. It's a call to repentance. It's a call to repentance. The man is paralyzed, the text tells us. Or at least that's what the heading is for today's gospel. It's the Sunday of the paralytic. And any English language Bible you pick up will tell you that. It'll say, right before the passage begins, this is the passage about the paralytic. But the word that's being used here teaches us and shows us that close connection between sin and sickness. This man is literally, in the original language, dry. Can you imagine a dry person? And that's probably why English translations don't know how to render that. How do you render a dried up person? To make it sound like something we know and we can relate to. Elsewhere in the Gospels, that word is used for, we heard about the man with the withered hand, you know, dried up, withered. But more importantly, when Jesus sees the fig tree that's supposed to be in season and it's producing leaves but no fruit, he curses it, and immediately it withers up and dies. So the lesson here is that we can't be dry. We can't be dried up and withered. We were dried up and withered. Remember the Old Testament prophecy from Holy Friday night from Ezekiel? Prophesy to these bones, they're dried up. Can these bones live? And then, of course, flesh and sinews are attached to them and they're raised up. Foreshadowing the resurrection. We were dried up, beloved in Christ. We were not bearing fruit. That's another way of saying dry. But we have been called by God. We have been saved through Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, We put that on at our baptism, and we proceed through life, a life in the church. So we need God now more than ever. We certainly don't give up after Pascha. This man is dried up. He's withered. He's not bearing fruit. And at the very end, after Jesus allows him to take up his pallet and walk, he warns him, "You are well. See that you sin no more, lest something worse befall you." What could be worse than 38 years of frustration? 38 years of waiting, not being able to walk, being paralyzed, / dried up in any sense of it. What could be worse? Well, not being saved, not being given the kingdom of heaven, you know, dying and perishing. So for us, we need spiritual renewal. We need to remember why we're here. There's nothing that's going to fix us. There's nothing that's going to save us. There's nothing that's going to make everything all right outside of what's in here. Jesus Christ, our Lord, given to us in the body and the blood of the Eucharist. This is why we're here, beloved in Christ. We proclaim Christ is risen, and we should. We stay fast free for a while. But let us remember not to neglect our prayer life, not to be too content with the way things are, not to be fat and happy Christians. Because a fat and happy Christian is not a very good one. Have to be hungry. That's why Lent is so good for our souls. It makes us hunger for God, hunger and thirst for God. When we feed ourselves with the things of the world, we start to think, it's not so bad. We don't need God. We don't need to go to church. We don't need to give to our neighbor. I can go to sleep. I'm tired. I don't have to say my prayers. You know, food does that to us, doesn't it? So the lesson here is another call to repentance. See that you sin no more. And as Christians, we understand that as our calling to. We are called not to sin. But when we do, we recognize it and we come before God and say, "God, be merciful to me. I have no one," like the man here by the pool. "I have no one to help me. Say a word and let it be done to me." So we're given this wonderful gospel today, beloved in Christ, for encouragement and to teach us that there's only one thing that's going to make everything all right, and we already have it. How about that? We already have the one thing. We're not waiting like the man. Jesus Christ came and he died and he gave his life for us. We will not have that something worse befall us because we are saved. But let us live that salvation. Let us make it real in the life of the church, in the sacraments, in the love for the neighbor, and a true belief in the one God through Jesus Christ who gave himself for us. This is our lesson today. May God bless us. May he allow us peace to offer the holy oblation at this divine liturgy. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.